Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Today on Life Quest, we're once again talking with Max Lucado. You know, more than 120 million readers have found comfort and inspiration in the writings of Max Lucado. He's pastor of the Oak Hills Church in San Antonio, Texas, and of course is the author of so many books. Welcome to Life Quest again, Max.
Thank you. It's a great privilege.
Let me ask you this. People are used to reading your devotionals and books on discipleship and even theology. You've written a couple of fiction works before. Why this format and this book at this time?
Well, I think that's a good question. You know, fiction goes where nonfiction does not. You know, there are some people who really enjoy a fiction book, some people who really enjoy nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us enjoy both. And I thought I would just take a chance and take a stab at writing a book that would convey some biblical truths, but in a story form. And, you know, nonfiction, you take the scriptures and you try to unpack them and you use stories. In fiction, you tell a story and you embed scriptural truths or teachings within it. And I love writing fiction.
Uh-huh.
I don't have much time, or at least I don't make much time, I should say, to do it. But I think it's a lot of fun to do. And so I hope that this book, encourages people and gives them some biblical teaching at the same time.
The book is called Miracle at the Higher Grounds Cafe, and it's not been released yet. So can you tell our listeners where it's going? What's it about? What's the background?
Well, this is a story about a particular lady who happens to live in San Antonio, modern day story,
mm-hmm.
and she is passing through just one challenge after another. Marriage is falling apart. Finances fall apart. She ends up inheriting a kind of boutique coffee shop from her mother. And in the process of trying to learn how to run this coffee shop, of all things, she finds out her internet connection will allow people to ask God a question.
Oh, boy.
And she doesn't know why. She doesn't know how it happened. And then also, you know, the people that she hires, well, one of them just seems to have this angelic or heavenly ability about him. And really, so what the reader begins to realize is that something's going on here, and God is trying to get this lady's attention and help her through this difficult time. You know, it's basically, how does God help us today?
Mm-hmm.
How does he help us? And this book is, it's my imagining. It's my kind of imagining, hopefully in a creative way, how God would reach out to bring encouragement to our lives.
I suppose all of us who have any kind of spiritual direction or grew up in a Christian home or are going to church, we have had times in our life when we wish there was some kind of Old Testament yes and no, Urim and Thummim type of thing with the high priest, where we could get a specific answer to my specific problems.
Yeah, I know, and people are, we're all wondering, how do we discern God's will? And so the idea of being able to ask God a question and know that he will answer specifically is very, very appealing to us. I think that regardless of whether or not God would ever do something like this through an internet cafe,
mm-hmm.
we can be sure of this. God does want to communicate with us. He does want to talk to us. He does bring encouragement. He does send angels. He does send people. And will he do it exactly like he said, like I've described in this book? I don't know. I think the big point is that he does care, and that and let's just be assured. Let's be reminded of the comforting thought that God is for us, and that he will use all of these things to get our attention.
In this book, there is a lot of emphasis, really, on this whole thing about angels, and you've just mentioned it several times. Obviously, the Bible talks about it to a certain extent. This is part of your Christian belief, right?
And we wish the Bible would talk more. Yeah. I find the whole topic of angels so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's one of those topics where we don't need to get pragmatic. The Bible is not pragmatic. The Bible doesn't tell us how many angels there are.
Right.
The Bible doesn't tell us all the things that angels do, but the Bible just gives us enough instances of angels to get us curious and to bring us comfort. I do believe that there are angels right now on the earth. I believe that because I approach life with a spiritual, biblical worldview, and there are stories throughout Scripture of angels. And these angels have the purpose of ministering or helping God's children. There are verses in the Bible, like the passage in Hebrews, that says, show hospitality because you may be entertaining angels and not know it.
And they may not all have wings, yeah.
They may not have wings, and they may take on a job at a coffee shop like
right.
this one did.
Gotcha.
So, again, I'm not trying to be pragmatic about it. I don't know anything more than anyone else who's read the Bible about angels. But I do find great comfort in the knowledge that God would send these heavenly beings to comfort us, to protect us, to help us, and to minister to us.
As a pastor, you have had to counsel many people in a variety of situations. And it's good when people come to you and ask for guidance. But there may be a lot of people that are saying, who can I turn to?
Yeah, and the good news is that there is somebody who can help you. One of the things that I find in talking to people and then in just when I think about my own difficult times, we have each other to remember that God will get us through things. He really will. And it's when I think I'll never get through this
mm-hmm.
that the clouds really seem to darken. As long as I believe that in time, I'm going to get through this. It may be stormy, may be dark, but it's going to pass. If I can hang on to that, hold on to that with both hands, then I have, I think, enough strength, and I'll survive. But those people who believe, it's never going to get better. I'm going to be stuck in this dark time for the rest of my life. Those are the people for whom I have really a deep concern, and so I want to use every opportunity I have to encourage people. Yeah, dark times come, but they don't stay. Just hang in there. You're going to get through it.
The main character here is named Chelsea, and she struggles with the idea that a lot of people, even Christians who go to church every week, have, well, I'm not really that good or skilled at praying. And I remember growing up, Father was a preacher, and you go to prayer meeting, and there were some people that were just good prayers. And others of us kind of, especially if we had to pray in public, kind of stumbled around a bit. How do you answer that in this book?
Well, I think you're exactly right. Most people feel like that when it comes to prayer, they are inadequate. And that's probably because we have heard people who are very eloquent, extremely poetic
mm-hmm.
in the way they offer prayers. What I understand, though, is that from the biblical perspective, the power of the prayer is not in the way we say it, but in the one who hears it. If prayer depends upon the way we say it, boy, we're in trouble.
Right.
Our most heartfelt prayers are often uttered when we are incoherent, when we're struggling, or when we're crying, or when we're confused, when we're in a dark, dark time of life. I think the most beautiful prayers in the Bible were just those simple appeals for help. And God was responsive to those. So this is very, very encouraging for those of us who don't find ourselves very eloquent, which is all of us at one point or another. And so I would remind us that the power of prayer is not in the way we say it, but in the one who hears it. And in the book, Chelsea, she's not a prayer warrior by any means.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy, she is blessed by what prayer she offers. And she's surprised at the answers of prayer that come into her life.
I once heard someone say that prayer is opening our hearts up to God as to a friend. And that's always resonated with me because, boy, when I'm in trouble, I need a friend.
And you don't try to impress your friend with your eloquence, right?
Right. They know me too well.
Share what's on your heart. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So how do you want people to use this book that you've written? Again, the name of the book is Miracle at the Higher Grounds Cafe.
I think that there's a place for good stories. Our culture is very much a story-based culture. We love stories, and I don't know if any culture has not been, but we especially are. Mm-hmm. One that we're attracted to portrayals of the human story. And so I would really hope that this particular book would find its way into the lives of people who are passing through difficult circumstances. And that they would, because they've read this book, catch a glimpse as to the way God works in our lives, both in the natural and in the supernatural. And that they would see that they're never at a point in their life where they're beyond the touch of God, that he can reach in and he can touch their lives at any point in any way. So that's really what this is. It's simply another way to tell people God is listening, God cares, and God will help.
The book is Miracle at the Higher Grounds Cafe by Max Licato. Max, where will people be able to get a copy of this book?
Anywhere books are sold, I think. Of course, Amazon.com, or they can go to my website, maxlicato.com, or they can go to any bookstore. Fortunately, most bookstores carry my books, and so they shouldn't have any trouble finding it.
Once again, Max, thank you so much for being with us on LifeQuest.
My privilege. You do a great job. Thanks for having me on the program.
I'll be back in just a moment.
Joining us today on LifeQuest, here is host Dwight Lanoff.
Today on LifeQuest, we're talking about the book Devotions for Kids. It's part of the Duck Commander series, and we'll be talking about that soon. I'm talking with Chris Howard. And Chris, welcome to LifeQuest.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, Chris, you're part of this whole Duck Dynasty thing, right?
I say I'm on the peripheral or the outside edge because my daughter, Corey, is married to Willie. So Phil and Kay and my husband and I have co-grandparented for 20 years now, and our lives have just intertwined really since the early 70s. My husband has helped Phil early on in the Duck Commander business. We were just getting started with this new duck call. And then just through church and other activities, our lives have just been intertwined. And then Corey and Willie have been married now for 22 years. So
fantastic.
Long time.
A number of weeks ago, I talked with Al Robertson about the Duck Commander Study Bible.
So, yes, excellent.
Anyways, that's great also. Now, this is a Devotions for Kids. It is very colorful in its format, put together. I've got to tell you right now, listeners, that this is a great book. I'm going to be giving it to my grandkids. But tell us a little bit, Chris, about how this came about.
We're so excited about this book. And we started looking at the books that we had out there, and Corey and I are like, wait a minute, we don't have anything for kids. And that's really where our heart is so much. Corey was a children's minister at our church for a couple of years. Willie was a youth minister.
Mm-hmm.
I have been the camp director at our Christian camp going on, I think 30 years now. I'll be out there this summer in the woods with our kids. And so our heart is with children, and we just started looking at our product. We did a Vacation Bible School curriculum last summer, but nothing really to put in the hands of moms and kids for nightly, weekly, daily, however they do their devotion time with their kids. So we just got to thinking about all the fun stories we had and Back when I was in the publishing business, every Monday I sent a Monday hug out to our staff, and that hug involved a spiritual application on a life story that had happened to somebody, maybe in the company or with us or whatever, then I would turn it into a spiritual message. So that's exactly what we did with these stories, and Corey and I had so much fun brainstorming the stories that we could pull from the Robertson side of the family, thinking that would be just a great way for people who are familiar with the show, who watch it, who know all the characters, that they would be able to have a lesson taught to them, you know, like Jesus taught through parables, the same type of thing.
So our listeners will understand this. You've got a title. I just opened it here. Speaking Softly Says a Lot. And then you give a Bible text, Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer will calm a person's anger. And then, as you just said, you tell a story, right? And these are actual true stories about things that happened to the tribe, right?
These are actual true stories. As a matter of fact, when they first, the publisher said they wanted 100 stories, I kind of thought, okay, well, I think I can do that. But when I got to about 60, I was like, oh, my word, I've got to really dig deep. We had to get out our diaries. We had to get our calendars. We had to just pour through our brains of things that have happened. But we were able to do it. We pulled it off. And these are all actual things that have happened in their life.
And then in each devotional night or section, you've got a prayer. That goes with it. And then what is this Duck Commander in Action part?
I love Duck Commander in Action because I think everything that we teach our children, we need to teach them or talk to them about how they can put that in their own life. Because any lesson from the Bible, if I read a scripture and you read a scripture, or what we get from that may be totally different. But if we think about it long enough, we'll think, okay, how can we apply this to our life? Your life is different than my life. And so it's a great way to have interaction with your children. Some of them are very interactive. It'll ask you to do something, to write something or draw something or color and paste or go around to your family and have each one of them smile. You know, there's some different things like that. And then some of them are just, you know, you think of some ways to do this. And as I've done this with my own grandchildren who range now from 10 to 23, so I've done this with my younger ones. They're 10, 12, and 12.
Sure.
They, because they're a little bit older, I can just take it kind of to the next level. I can ask them a little bit deeper question that I think of. A book is only a tool. It's just a guide. It doesn't tell it all. So if you're dealing with a four-year-old, it would be a different type of question that you would apply. But in any case, we've given an action step that you can do with your children that they can do by themselves that will reinforce what we're trying to teach.
Can you tell our listeners a sample story here that you have?
One of my favorite stories came out of last summer because both of our families have always gone to the beach together, and that's, you know, like 65 people now. You know, we're piling it. We used to go in one huge house when the Robertsons didn't have all their grandkids. We didn't have so many now. We just spread out. There are sometimes four houses lined up of our family. And we love that time together. So last year, John Luke, who's kind of our introspective and reflective one, was walking the beach and came back with this gorgeous shell. He put the shell, he showed everybody, and we just, you know, commented on, wow, that's beautiful. I can't believe you found that kind of thing. So he put that in his pocket. Later in the day, all the kids wanted to go surf boarding, you know, where you just slide across the waves on a board. Well, he wasn't so successful, and he fell right on his hip where that treasure was, and it cut him really bad. I mean, we had to go to the store and get bandages and all that kind of stuff. So I tell that story again in a more simple way so that children can understand it. And then we talk about what the Bible says about where to store your treasure. And that wasn't a great place for John Luke to store that treasure. It wasn't safe, and it wasn't good for him. And that the Bible talks about storing all the treasures that are really important are the treasures we're going to store in heaven. So that's a sample of how the stories work. You know,
well,
we just
like
look
that.
To see how we can take something that happened in everyday life. I love this, too, because I think it can teach moms and dads how to do this themselves, how to look at everyday events and say, okay, wow, what kind of message can we get from that today?
You picture mom and dad reading this to their child or their children. I can say to our listeners that it's very colorful. It's well put together. if I can remember way back to when I was a kid, looking over mom's shoulder and trying to follow along and seeing the colorful illustrations and that sort of thing. How can our listeners get a copy of this book?
Well, from what I understand, it will be in all major Christian bookstore outlets, as well as Sam's, and of course on Amazon. So I think any place you would go to buy a book, this will be out. It releases February 10th, so we're just right around the corner, and I really think that you'll be able to find it anywhere.
This is the Duck Commander Devotions for Kids. It is by the mother and daughter team of Corey Robertson and Chris Howard. And I can really highly recommend this. It's something that you can use right away, or you can save it for a special gift, a special event. Thanks so much, Chris, for being with us today on LifeQuest.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate everything that you do and Christian Radio, and appreciate having this opportunity.
Thanks for listening to LifeQuest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to LifeQuest@lifetalk.net.